today on Living on Every Word.
Thanksgiving precedes the miracle. Let me ask you a question. You need a miracle in your heart today. Are you facing something? Are you facing a struggle in your heart and in your life? Are there some things that just seem to overwhelm you? Have you thought about thanking God? About thanking God.
During life's hard times, the last thing we think of is to give thanks. But today, Pastor Mike Fritcher explains why it is critical for us to do so, especially when times are tough, in this Memorial Day message, The Power of Giving Thanks.
Living on Every Word.
Early in my tenure as a pastor here at Cottonwood, I was called to the funeral home to meet a family who had lost an aged mother. And I met with the son, and I did not know this family, I did not know their history, knew nothing of them. And I was pretty young, just starting out, and so I sat down with them in the funeral home, or with him. And you know, when you're a pastor and you're doing a funeral of somebody you don't know, that can be kind of difficult. You can say some things that are really positive that everybody else in the audience might not think that wasn't right, right? And you can be told some things that weren't true. Well, I asked him, what could you tell me about your mom? And this is what he said. He said, she raised four sons, and she worked in the peanut mill all her life. I wrote that down. And I said to him, and so what else? Oh, that's it. That's it. She raised four sons and worked in the peanut mill all her life. And I don't know, it was one of the first ones that I'd done, but I was just stunned. We're getting ready to give a memorial service for his mother. And this is what he says. I mean, she's raised four sons and she's worked all her life. There's some good quality in that, right? I mean, there's probably some good things in that. Now, I don't know their background. I don't know what happened to them as sons. I don't know what kind of woman she was. I knew absolutely nothing. Try preaching that. That was hard. And I walked away from that, never forgetting it. Matter of fact, I sometimes sit at my kitchen table, our kitchen table, and we have a west view to the city, and I can see that peanut mill. And every time sometimes I look and I'll see that, and I'll remember about the woman who raised four sons and worked all her life in the peanut mill. And that's all this son had to say of his mother. You know, this weekend is Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day weekend is a holiday that we all celebrate. Back during the Civil War, after the Civil War, they called it Decorations Day, and folks would gather at cemeteries, both public and private cemeteries, and they would decorate the graves with flags and flowers and such. And pretty soon it became a place where families gathered for family reunions. And I understand this week that's where we got the name potluck dinners, is from those early days of Memorial Day. Remembering those who have died in service to their country. Remembering those who have given their lives for the values of our country and for freedom. I was driving down the road on Friday, going just a different way in my message when I thought about this day here. To think of the greatest memorial that we could ever give to the greatest man that ever lived. Who died in the service of the kingdom of God at 33 years old. 3 years ministry, 36 months, 152 weeks, about 1,100 days, give or take. That was his ministry. And it was his ministry to you and to me. It was a ministry of life, a ministry of word, a ministry of holiness, a ministry of challenge and accountability, a ministry of death and dying on a cross. And what a fitting day in our church to give memorial to the greatest warrior ever lived. The Son of Man, the Son of God, This warrior who crushed the head of the enemy 2,000 years ago when he shed his blood for you and for me. And Jesus established this memorial, and he established it for you and me to remember. Now, there's a scripture that I want to put up because it's kind of, I don't know, the scriptures kind of join the three passages of scriptures together. Do you have that? And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which was given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, and when he gave thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink all of it." And he said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. My body broken for you. My blood spilt for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, there's three things about this scene. It's three things about these passages of scripture. The very first one is that he gave thanks. He gave thanks. And when we think about giving thanks, we might think about it in terms of just, okay, it's part of the meal. You know, God is good. God is great. Thank you for this food. Amen. Right? God, we thank you for this food right now. We ask that you'd bless it. We'd ask that you do this and that to it. And what I want to suggest to you is that it is much, much deeper than that. This Thanksgiving is about a bread that represents the body of our Lord that will be broken in a few hours. It's about the blood. This cup is about the blood of Jesus that will be shed for our salvation. It's going to be a dark hour. Matter of fact, it's going to be a dark several hours. There's going to be a beating where he'll be unrecognizable. There'll be trials through the night whereby which you will be exhausted. They will pluck his beard, smack him in the face, put a crown of thorns. And I'm not talking about rose thorns. We're talking about 1 inch to 2 inch thorns into the brow of our Lord. He's going to be humiliated. There's going to be shame. There's going to be a moment when he will say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And what is he doing? He's thanking God for it. He's thanking God for what will take place, but not only that, but what will take place as a result of what takes place. And he thanked his great God. As hard, as difficult, as sorry that these days will be, as these moments will be, he was this God-man that gave thanks to our God. For who God is, what God will do through the trial and the suffering. A year, 8 months ago, I was journaling, and some of you have heard this story, and we've talked about it. And when I journal around my birthday, the week before, and just begin to ask God of the things, and just to reflect of what's been going on in this year, and then what are the things that I'm just hoping for and anticipating and desiring in the year before. And my life, my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, you are part of that discussion with God. And oftentimes, if you were to look at my journals and you'd open it up to October 21st, that's when I've been reflecting and I start. And sometimes it's a page, 2 pages, 3. Sometimes it's 4 or 5 pages. And it's got goals and it's got hopes and it's got vision and it's got all those kinds of things in it. And 2 years, 2 birthdays ago, I just thought, you know, I want to do something different. It's just a page and a half long. And I said, God, I asked that something that for me this year, for 4 things that would come forth from my life. And the first one is that I would thank you for everything. I would thank you in everything. Lord, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was pretty, whether it was ugly, whether it was beautiful, whether it smelled great or it stunk, I'm going to thank you. I want to thank you. And then the second thing I ask is, God, that I would confess you as Lord over every situation and that I would love well in situations that were hard and struggle where I struggled. And then the fourth thing I ask is, God, I want to be led by your Spirit. Well, if you've been in any of those messages, you know that I didn't get past the first one for a number of months. Matter of fact, I just got to the loving well place and some things that God's teaching me just here in the last couple of months. But God's been so faithful. And, you know, as I began to thank God for things, and as I began to ask just kind of as an initial response to things that were hard or the things that were difficult, I began to see something happen in my heart, in my life. I noticed, number one, I wasn't as stressed about these certain situations. Now, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I was, but I wasn't as stressed, okay? I also realized that when I was praying for things that just didn't also make sense, why would I thank God for something like that? It gave me a different kind of perspective. And I began to study the Thanksgiving passages of Scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's a great passage of Scripture. There's these little phrases that Paul is telling to the Thessalonians where he would say, rejoice evermore. And again, I say rejoice. And then he say, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When I look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and God, even the Father. And so I began this very thing, and I began to realize that in my heart and even in circumstances and situations, supernatural things begin to happen when I was thanking God for everything. And I would say that. I'd scratch my head, and I'd just say, God, look at the, I can't believe the way that I'm responding to this. This is a way I've wanted to respond since I was 10. To these kinds of things. I was just thanking him. Thanking him. And there were some hard things, and there are hard things, even to this day, that I can look at the situations and I can look at the all things and I can say, thank you, Lord. I don't like this. I'm struggling with this, but I want to thank you for it. Why can I say that? Why can I say this? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 28, refrigerator verse, right? Go on and turn there for a moment. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Why in the world would I thank God for all things? Why would I do that? Because Paul says something very significant about all things in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Look at verse 26 as we begin. In the same way, the Spirit helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things, there it is, in all things give thanks. Why? Because we know that God causes all those things to work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And in these whom he justified, he glorified. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And then he says this, verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, will these, all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, will these things separate us? And he says, no, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. In all things, we give thanks because God is causing all things to work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. You know what I find about giving God thanks in everything? Hard, easy, ugly. Somehow, it's that same thought that we talked about last week of just the confession that he is Lord over these circumstances and that I can trust him and that he is going to cause those things. And somehow in my heart and in my soul and in my spirit, that work just begins to meet, just begins to work immediately. I'm not talking about supernatural things where the trial goes away. Listen, there's some things that I thank God for a year and 8 months ago, and the trial is still there. It's just I'm not responding the way I used to respond to that trial and that struggle. So please hear what I'm saying. This is not some magical wand that makes your problems or your trials go away. This is the power of God that acknowledges that He is Lord, that He's in control, that He's the God of providence in my life, and that I can trust Him and Him alone. Even when I can't trust someone else or my heart won't let me trust something, I'm trusting God. And so in this moment when I think about this whole thought of giving thanks and I look at my life over the past one year and 8 months ago, I am finding God answering those prayers that I prayed at my birthday a couple of years ago. And I praise God for it. I praise God for it. A couple of months after the first sharing of these things from the pulpit, one of you came and said, "Hey, I've read a book. It's called A Thousand Gifts. And it just sounds exactly like some of the things that you're talking about in your sermons. And so I waited a couple of months and I got it out and I read it. And it was a woman who was a homeschool mom in Canada. She was a hog farmer's wife, 6 children. Lost a little sister when she was very young. Run over by a delivery truck in their yard. A young woman that not in this book, but as you read other things about her, who had this horrible habit of cutting herself, emotional instability. And yet she started thanking God. She decided she'd make a list of 1,000 things that she'd be thankful for. And she started that journey. Her life began to change. You know, the word is eucharisteo. You know, you don't hear much Greek from this pulpit, but it's eucharisteo. It's got the very word of grace in that word. Charis is grace. Eucharisteo. Roman Catholics called their Lord's Supper the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving. Because of the very verse that said, "He gave thanks." And what's interesting that whenever you see this word, eucharisteo, especially in the Gospels, and you don't see it much, you see miracles take place. You see supernatural things take place. And, you know, I was saying these kinds of things. Gosh, it seems to be that supernatural things are happening in my life every time I give thanks. And this young woman said it this way, and I like the way she says it. She would say that thanksgiving precedes the miracle. Let me ask you a question. You need a miracle in your heart today. Are you facing something? Are you facing a struggle in your heart and in your life? Are there some things that just seem to overwhelm you? I don't know. I mean, I can name a bunch of things. I don't need to name it. You know what? You name it. You name it. Have you thought about thanking God? About thanking God. Because when you go to Scripture and you look at impossible situations in Scripture, these folks, when they thank God, supernatural things happened in their lives. Miracles took place. There's a great miracle in Matthew, chapter 15, I believe. Is that right? Matthew chapter 15, verse 38. Don't need to turn there. Jesus has a couple of loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And his disciples say to him, "But what is that for so many?" Because there's 5,000 men here. And what's interesting about this great passage of Scripture is that Jesus, in this moment, would take the bread and he would break it. He would break the bread, right? He would give thanks and he'd break it. And what I want to say to you today is that not only are miracles found in thanksgiving, but it's also found in the breaking. Where would I be without brokenness? I wouldn't have a relationship with God without brokenness. Without trial and struggle and being broken, I would never think about thanking God for something negative. But it's in the very brokenness, those all things that I get to be thankful for, because he's working all those things out for your good, for God's glory, to glorify himself through you. And maybe you're here today and you've been going through the trial, you've been going through the ringer, you've been struggling with temptation or weakness or any of the things that we've talked about, and you might say, oh, God, this really sounds odd in my flesh, in my mind, but I'm going to thank you for this. I'm going to thank you for this. No ands, no ifs, no buts. Because when I look back over my life, I notice that when I walked through trial and I grumbled and I complained about it, didn't really help much. Didn't really help much. But God, I've also noticed that there's been some attitudes in my life where I've seen change. My attitude toward you. Jesus gave thanks. And a miracle took place. 5,000 men and their families are fed that day, and there are 12 basket loads of bread left over. I think about a scene in John chapter 11. He comes to a tomb of a man that had been dead for 4 days, Lazarus. What does he do at that tomb? He gives Eucharisteo. He gives thanksgiving. And when you see that word, again, a miracle takes place. And a man who'd been dead is now resurrected. You can go to a chapter in Luke where there's 10 men, lepers, who come to Christ. And he tells them to go show themselves to the priest. And on the way that they go, all 10 of them are healed from their leprosy. But then there's a Samaritan. There's one Samaritan that will return to Christ and come to him and bow before him. And do you know what he'll say? Thank you. And Jesus will say, where are the others? Weren't there 10? And there's only one. And there's this Samaritan, this foreigner that's come to thank God. And you know what he says to him? Your faith has just saved you. Not healed you. You've already been healed. This man, this Samaritan came, he thanked God. He thanked God for the healing. And in that faith, he got saved. Supernatural things happen. Last November, we talked about this again during the Thanksgiving message. And I'm using some of the same passages of Scripture. And we talked about this journal that maybe we would just begin to do the list and begin to thank God for everything, whatever it was. And I started that. I'm a number of months later, I've passed 1,000. I've probably repeated some things. Supernatural things when you thank God happen when you thank God for everything. It sure beats grumbling, and it sure beats anger, and it sure beats bitterness, and it sure beats those things. God wants to transform us by his word and by the principles of his word. And whether it's breaking bread, whether it's a rained out baseball game, that God can teach us and move in us in the very mundane things of our lives by just being grateful. By being grateful and thankful, even when the things aren't going our way. And the greatest miracle of thanksgiving, the greatest miracle of grace, of Eucharisteo, is Jesus breaking this bread. And in that breaking, there'd be a miracle. And in that spilling of blood, there'd be a miracle. And guess who it affects? You and me. We are that miracle of thanksgiving. When he spilt, he broke his body and spilt it. He gave thanks. Second thing he did is he broke his body. He broke that bread. And he said, listen, this is my body which is broken for you. We know in Scripture that when that body was on the cross, that the first thing it did was he bore your sin. It means he carried your sins away. But Scripture also says in Isaiah that when he's speaking of this scene, that the body also of Christ also bore your griefs, the things that have made you sad, the things that have brought hurt to your life, the horrible things that might have been done to you, that he bore that on the cross. And he carried that grief, he bore the grief, and he bore the sin. Would I not believe that today? Would I thank God for that? Would I thank God for the grief? Would I thank God for the failure? Would I thank God for these things out here, knowing that all these things he's going to work out for my good, to where I'm overwhelmingly conquering in the name of Jesus? Oh, the blood that forgives, but also the blood that cleanses us. I love what John says about 1 John in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you believe that today? I believe that today. In just a few minutes, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to give you the opportunity to give thanks at a table where there's broken bread and spilt wine or grape juice, symbolizing what Jesus did for you. You believe this today? You walk through this and you walk up and you ask God, Lord, you share with God, or you just declare it, God, I want to thank you for what you did. I want to remember you today, this Memorial Day. I want to give memorial to you, and I want to thank you for your brokenness. And I want to thank you for my brokenness. How many of you have ever been broken before? What did God do out of the brokenness? He resurrected life. That's what our God does. And declaring this is declaring that he died, but that he's also alive, and he's alive in me. Now, one other thing. The Bible says that when you come to this table, you're to come in a worthy manner. And you say, well, who could be worthy? Well, we're only worthy through Christ. But let me just say this. Paul said it. Come to the table in a worthy manner. And that means if there's things in your life that you don't want to really deal with, that you want to keep on being angry, you want to keep living the way, please come up and ask for prayer. There'll be some folks up here for prayer. Or if there's something that you need to confess to make right. But just like a baptism, this memorial service is saying, I'm declaring your death, and I'm dying to me, and I'm living to you. I'm dying to me, and I'm living to you. It's a great declaration today, and I pray it would be yours. So let's bow to the Lord in prayer. When we say amen, you're welcome to come up individually or as a couple or as a family to one of these tables and to take the bread and to take the juice and declare the Lord's death in this. So let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you gave thanks and that, God, that you moved in mighty ways. That, Lord, that there were miracles and supernatural things that came forth from thanks, and we are a product of one of those. And so we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your Holy Spirit, would fill this place today as folks come forward thinking and praying and contemplating this Memorial Day, thanking you for the body and the blood of Jesus, the memorial service that memorializes you, that remembers you. And we do that together today. Thank you for the broken body and the spilt blood. But I thank you 3 days later. 3 days later, you arose from that grave. No longer broken. Thank you for the sacrifice. May we live that sacrifice this very day. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You come when you're ready to come to partake.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living